This is Ecotopia on KZFR Chico. We're delighted to have two guests on the phone with us to tell us about the Rio Plus 20 conference and about their own efforts to expand the global community and make our planet a sustainable place to live. Kaganga John is talking to us from Uganda. He's a farmer, activist, environmentalist who lives in the village of Kikandwa. He's been working there for over 20 years, helping the community become sustainable, and his accomplishments and commitment are legendary around the world. He attended and spoke out at the Rio Plus 20 conference, arguing for support for local sustainability programs. Welcome, Kaganga John.
Hello? Yes, thank you.
Thanks for being here. Thank you. And we're also talking to from San Francisco, we're talking to activist Heather Box, who also attended Rio Plus 20. In addition to being an environmentalist, she is one of the founders of the Million Person Project, which helps connect people worldwide through storytelling. Thank you for being with us, Heather.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Let's start with the Rio Plus 20 conference. Why did you both decide to attend, and what were your aims and hopes in going to the conference?
Are you starting with me?
Either one of you.
Either one of you. So, John, Kaganga John, why did you go to Rio?
Okay. Thank you for that very good question. First of all, I went to Rio. It was not accidental because I have been following Rio, the first Rio, which took place in Brazil in 1992. And then also I followed it, the meeting which took place in the World Summit in South Africa, which took place in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I've been following that, though, the real is that I'm very much interested in the sustainable development, and especially in making our environment sustainable. That's why I was working very hard to see that I have to go to Rio to speak out my voice to the global leaders and other development partners and other colleagues which I met, which you attended the meeting, how Rio have not yet fulfilled its objective, why it was created.
Right, right. And Heather, why did you decide to attend this conference?
So the reason why I decided to attend this conference was I have been to two UN conferences before. I went to the United Nations Conference on Climate Change in Copenhagen and in Durban last year. And one of the things that is really absent from these meetings is voices of people who are working on the grassroots.
Right.
And that was something that was apparent in all of these meetings. The leaders are always talking about the most challenging part of this process is implementation and how will it be received on the grassroots and how will it be implemented. Yet there's nobody at the meeting to give their opinion on these policies. So when I was in Uganda, Kaganga John had mentioned to me that he'd been working in this process, following this process since 92, and that he was really looking to find a way to go to Rio Plus 20 to raise his voice and the voice of small-scale farmers. And so I was like, all right, let's do this. And so we teamed up, and I worked to get him on some panels and use my connections that I had through attending these other conferences and try to get his voice in the process.
Could we start with either John or Heather, what were your general impressions? We were interested that you talked about the official delegates. There were 1,000 or so of those, but there were 45,000 activists and environmentalists in Rio. You must have met some amazing people. Could you tell us, please, your impressions?
Pardon?
John, could you give us some of your impressions about the conference?
Okay, that's also a very good question to me. That first of all, I was very much excited to attend the meeting, and I knew that I will express myself. And then the first impression, I thought that my voice is going to be heard, and that is also that was the, that I partly achieved that. Secondly, I was impressed by so many people who came from all the world. That was also that impressed me. Then thirdly, what impressed me that we had people of different diversity, the global leaders, the developed partners, the developed countries, and the developing countries, people from all over the world. That impressed me. And then also, what impressed me that we had helped me very much to connect me to different people of various capacity and various titles. That also impressed me.
Kaganga, I'm interested. You said you wanted to have your voice heard. Do you feel your voice was heard? Who do you feel heard you at this conference?
Hello? Pardon?
Who do you... You said you wanted to hear your... that your voice was heard, and I'm wondering if you felt that your voice was heard. Did you feel that people took you seriously and wanted to support the work you're doing?
When I was in the region, I attended the various meetings, and also I was one of the panel.
Right.
And that helped me very much. Hello?
Yes. And so I want to know your sense of whether or not people took what you said seriously and took it to heart when you presented on panels and talked with people.
The problem, especially if I'm talking about as a farmer now and a person who is coming from developing countries, in most cases, don't have chance to attend such meetings. And then also those people, the policymakers, all who take a decision, all the people who do funding, usually don't know what is happening at the grassroots. That's why in most cases, when you just when reading in papers, when you just hear what those people think at the high levels, you might think that everything is fine. But now even those delegates were so impressive to have a person who is talking something at the grassroots, because at the grassroots, when you talk about the environment, it's not all that very well. The forests are not so much degraded. Mm-hmm. The land is so much degraded. Mm-hmm. And even agriculture is really not in a good situation. Hello?
And to add my opinion on there is, I think Kaganga John and I had one formal panel scheduled, and then the rest of it was just really making it happen for ourselves. So we would literally be running from one panel to the next, where we knew that Kaganga John or myself had a very important opinion on the subject that was being discussed, be it sustainable agriculture or human security and sustainable development. So it would be like they would always leave, 10, 20 minutes at the end for questions once all of the, quote, experts presented.
Right.
And they would say, does anybody have any questions? And in that instant, Kaganga John's arm would shoot up in the air. And
great.
And they would say, oh, wow, we have a very enthusiastic audience member. Like, let's get him up. And so he would take the mic and introduce himself, tell his story, and then talk about the perspective, relate it to what the panel was about. And we just heard time after time again from these ministers and from the UN, the UN Food and Agriculture Organization senior policy officer, and one of them said, wow, Kaganga John, I am so glad that you are here. We often lose sight of what's truly happening on the ground in these conferences when we're discussing among you know, among in the theoretical realm. So it was really, really awesome to watch and to see that even though this process is kind of, you know, it's all PhDs, it's all people studying, it's all people presenting their research, that really when you get when you get your voice in there as someone who can talk about what it's like to implement on the ground or what the situation is, people do listen. And so that was inspiring to me.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the final report of the conference. The international press has been scathing in its review of Rio Plus 20, saying that it failed to accomplish even modest objectives. So you're talking about telling your stories and Kaganga John's story, but there seem to have been a lot of barriers. There's been criticism about the final statement, the future we want. It's been called a vague confirmation of past agreements, offering no new significant commitments. Could you talk about that, please, Heather or John, about what happens to what people say in the panels and the final kind of bland report that issued from the conference?
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that the United Nations isn't going to solve all of our world's problems, and that most of these problems are going to be solved by regular people like us working together.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of opportunity in these meetings to connect with people who are running major international organizations or other people who are working on the grassroots also that have really important information to share with one another. So the disappointing part, it's really hard to have this experience, to have such an inspiring time, connect with so many people, find so many people who want to support Kaganga John, people like him there, which we did, and then have it against this backdrop of, like, these major world leaders not even, you know, not even expressing their concern. I mean, that was the hardest part for me. Mm-hmm. People literally get up on stage one after another, diplomats, world leaders, and they rattle off these statistics like 925 million people today are hungry. Like by 2050, 1 in 4 people are going to live in a country that, you know, that is suffering from chronic fresh water shortages. And they talk about child mortality rates increasing in some places, and nobody's voice even cracks. Like,
yeah.
Nobody, that's what's so hard about it, is like, where is the humanity? Like, I understand that this is a big formal process, but what is being said here is really serious, and something needs to be done about it, and it's really hard to see that people just say, yes, these are problems, and yes, you're right, we're not going to do anything about it right now.
So do you think, though, under that surface of big policymakers, blah, 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 that people are getting what you and Kaganga John are saying, and that maybe things could happen then locally and regionally that might not be reflected in those big policies?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm naive, but I believe that even the people who are blah, blah, blahing, when they're out of that setting and they're really, I mean, I believe that most people there want to do something about it. And that's why they receive us so well. That's why we, is because if we give them an option to help and to connect with their humanity and to get something done on the local level and to make a situation in even one village in Uganda better, they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I think it's sort of this, the process is this forces people to be shut down because
right.
the power struggle is too big.
Right, right.
Perhaps we could talk about some of the work at that local level. Kaganga John, Heather has recently written your story on Huffington Post, and we'll post that link on our website. Briefly, your mother died when you were 2. You were raised by your grandmother and your aunt. You left Kikandwa at age 17, and then you came back and have stayed ever since. Please tell us your story.
Okay, thank you. As you have already stated, I grew from Ikanwa, that is a sub-county, but the village is Kasegere. And I grew with my mother died at that age of two. And I grew in the hands of my grandmother. She was very hardworking, and I loved her. He struggled to start my education. But after, at the age of eight, my auntie tried to the mother of my grandmother, that is auntie,
mm-hmm.
Tried to relieve her, to relieve her, so that she took me to her home to pay for my fees. But again, in the problem which came up was that her intention was to make me as a babysitter. Therefore, I did not gain much, but although I was getting everything, food, clothing, and everything. Then later on, I struggled to get some fees to pay for my fees. But at the primary six, I got a very serious accident. I almost died. But again, when I got that accident, I was a suspicion that because I was reading a book, that's when the candle caught fire, then I was burned badly. And they told me that you should not go for further studies. But after 3 years, then I decided to go back. I got money to go back for my education. Till I finished the secondary education up to a higher education. And then after that, I became a licensed teacher. Then after that, I thought things were not moving well. Then I started a business. I became a businessman. I started with all the books. I collected books because by then Uganda had a problem with everything because they had explored the Asian. And then I had I made it so well, and I helped my fellow students who could not manage to buy the new books, and moreover, the new books were so scarce. And, from there, I made a good business. But later on, whenever I wanted to visit my place, and my village was so behind, although it is not very far from Kampala, about 75 kilometers. The roads were very bad, the food, the people having food, the environment, the charcoal burning was too much. Then I decided to, later on, I had to give up the business of books. Then I went back to sit with my people to see how we can help them, what we can help each other. And that's why I decided to start the Kanda Development Association. Because individually, people are not listening, and even the people mm-hmm. from the government was not listening, even the community was not listening. Then by then, I started to solicit friends and also joined some organizations, national and internationally, just making friends. They helped me to build my capacity in environmental management, although I had studied it, but not to the university level. And then even agriculture, I had maybe so many courses. Later on, I had to use my money and also the money from the members. But also, as you know, members, we are small-scale farmers, we are peasants, we didn't have a lot of money, but all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe that it is not money alone, but it is, if you are becoming, you can make a change. And I am proud that although I have not achieved 100%, but I have made some great changes in my own village. And I hope if such an example can be taken by others, it would be very good. Otherwise, people waiting for funding from government, from development partners. But for us, we have taken 20 years without even getting development partners to give us money. But we have made something very good. And people now have started appreciating our work. That's why even I managed to get connected to ISA and others from other countries.
So can you tell us about some of the projects that you've initiated and what steps Kagandwa has taken towards sustainability? What are some of the changes that you've seen in your work over the last 20 years?
Oh, okay. The changes, first of all, I can start with the environment. By then, when it started, people were so much. When I started the before I started working with the community, people were burning too much charcoal. They were not planting trees, and even the agriculture was so unsustainable. Since then, there is a change because now I am proud that people have now enough food. But not 100%. At least if I take the percentage, it is has moved from 20 to 70. That's a great. A lot of trees have been planted, and even you had a forest. It was a forest reserve, government forest reserve. It was cut down because the trees were old, but they had not planted it. But we started. I started advocating, and I was joined with other organizations and other members, fellow community members, and that forest now is more than 200
hectares. That's great.
An achievement. And apart from that, our community is very close to the main road. It is about 7 kilometers from the community. Therefore, very few students who is attend the education. But now we started the school. We started students who are sitting in the trees, and the people who are working there as the teachers are volunteers.
Nice.
And now we have we started with 65 people, but now it is 250, and we expect a big number. And now we have taken more than 7 years.
Wow.
Therefore, the school is also contributing to the development of the place, and the people have now food, and so many things have been happening.
Heather, you've had an opportunity to visit Kakanga John's village. Wonder if you could give us some of your observations. Which of those projects impressed you?
Wow, yeah. It was such an incredible experience to go out there and stay in Kasajere in the village with Kakanga John. We, like you said, it's 7 kilometers from the road. And when Kakanga John walked, my boyfriend, Julian, who's also the co-founder of the Million Person Project, and I up to the village, we went the long way so that we could see all of the projects and visit all of the projects along the way. So in 100-degree weather, Kakanga John was marching up these hills, weaving around these little pathways, and just off to the right, you'll see 200 hectares of perfectly planted, brand-new lined forest that Chikandwa Environmental Association advocated for, which is rare. There isn't tons of advocacy going on that level. So it was so amazing to see. And then the school is so inspiring because in Uganda you have to pay school fees to go to school, like $20 or $50 every semester, sometimes more. And so a lot of people can't go to school. I mean, when we did the storytelling workshops around Uganda, almost everybody's story included a story of not being able to make their school fees at some point in their life. And so John saw this when people were having to walk 14 kilometers, kids, to go to school to and from. They weren't making it. They weren't making it there, and they were too tired to study and all of that. And so with no money, no buildings, under the trees, chalkboards laid up against the tree of these beautiful, beautiful shady trees. They have 250 people coming there in the morning. So when we would wake up in the morning, we would just hear all of these voices, little voices running around. And they just got back their test scores. And I think they finished second in the district, even among all of the government schools, the ones that have funding, the private schools with funding.
My gosh.
Really, the most impressive part of the work that Kakanga John does is that he doesn't do it by himself. I mean, he really empowers people. Innovation is one of his main subjects. Is how can we innovate on a local level to provide sustainability for ourselves? So you go to everybody's house, everybody's farm, and they'll say, okay, here's my innovation. My innovation is
nice.
I'm making porridge out of this type of plant, which is a new use of this kind of plant, or I'm making herbal pesticides out of this combination of of things for this specific crop. And so it's really, really, really inspiring to be there.
Yeah.
And it was just so fun. We had a storytelling campfire, and we ate beautiful, beautiful, diverse crop. You know, food security is a big issue there. So they're really committed to colorful plates of nutritious food every night. And that was so amazing. It was just, I'm so impressed by Yukaganga continually.
Amazing. Heather Box, you met Kaganga John through the program you initiated, the Million Person Project, and you just alluded to doing storytelling workshops around Uganda. Could you tell us a little bit more about what the Million Person Project is and what its mission is and what you do?
Sure, yeah. So the Million Person Project is a project that I started with my boyfriend of 7 years, Julian Mosin McQueen. And the mission of the Million Person Project is it's a global project about love, storytelling, and connecting change makers. And what we do is we work around the world to run storytelling workshops and help change makers, grassroots organizers, leaders on the ground to be able to tell their story in relationship to their work. And then we work with those people to elevate their story and to connect them to other people around the world in order to get what they need for their program.
What do you mean, elevate their story?
We work to spread their story through media or through introductions to other people. Once we have the story written, then we share it around the world.
So do you take dictation or do you record stories or how the stories eventually get down on paper, but they're also recorded or what form do they take?
So it's really a leadership development tool to help people be able to tell their own story. So it's not as much about dictation as it is about having people be able to use that story when they're organizing in their community.
I see.
Level when they're reaching out to funders. So with select stories, with people who we work with over the long term, like Kaganga John, we work with him to write his story or do it on video, whatever is most useful. It goes back to the goals of their program and what they need in order to take their program to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And in Kaganga John's case, what he needs in order to take his program to the next level, the three goals that he's identified is he's working to connect his community with international farming organizations that can provide technical support, ongoing technical support in the long term. So once Kaganga John is retired or no longer there, that the farmers there have the up-to-date information that they need from these international farming organizations, seeds and all climate mitigation stuff. And then the second thing that he needs is he's working to connect with people around how to get a building for his school. And so telling the story of him and starting the school is critical to that goal. And then the third piece is it's 75 kilometers from Kampala, which takes about 4 hours to get to Kampala, and that's the closest place for the internet. So his third goal is he's starting a resource center in the trading center, that's 7 kilometers from his village. And so the third thing that he's working to do is to connect with people around starting that tech and resource center. And so that story also needs to be told about how the internet has connected him and enabled him to learn everything that he knows about sustainable farming. I mean, obviously some of it is from his experience, but he's also connected with people all over the world around this stuff and learned a lot.
What are some of the other countries that you visited in the Million Person Project?
So far we've been to Vietnam, South Africa, Uganda, and Brazil. But we work with people from 34 different countries because the storytelling workshop has been done now in Brazil at Rio Plus 20 with people from all over the world and also in Durban at the UN climate negotiations with people from all over the world there too.
And you've done this in just a couple of years. It's an amazing achievement.
Yeah, actually, we just started last October, so we haven't even hit our one-year anniversary yet.
Amazing, amazing. John, I wonder if you could, at this point, tell us a little more of your story. What are your hopes at this point for your village? What are the next projects you would like to engage in? I know you're looking for the resource center. What's your vision of where the village can go in coming years?
Okay, thank you, Stephen. My vision is getting fulfilled. But we have a problem, which also I would like to inform the global leaders, or the world, not the leaders, because it's all affected. We want to act. But we have been talking about sustainable development, but it is not put in reality. That's why I am really thinking far. Because we have been trying to sensitize the people, we have been trying to organize the trainings and so forth. But once you have energy, all those can be possible to be done. But when you are there, but if you are not there, this is part of life. Anytime you might die. And then the school, as I told you, is just the trees. We don't have chairs. The teachers are not well paid. They get just some small money. And it is me to convince them. We grow our own food, because now we have started even growing our own food, because I made also a trip to the U.S. and I learned that schools can grow their own food. That is also very good and amazing. That's how we can feed the teachers. And that's why even you can accommodate teachers. But once I'm not there, the school cannot even last for 2 years. That's why I'm struggling to connect with the global world, so that we can be assisted. We build the schools. And then also even the farmers will be needing more assistance, because sometimes farmers fail to grow crops because of they don't have even money to buy the seeds. Right. And sometimes we have now the problem of climate change. It is becoming something serious. Now, when we talk about the resource center, now imagine, for me, to access the internet, I have to move 50 kilometers.
Right.
And when I visited the U.S., and now when I visited the Brazil, I really saw that almost each and everybody is connected to the internet, has the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a big problem now, because even fact, people don't know. When you take the people who know who are computer literate in the whole village, the whole community of Jikandra, of the population of more than 440,000 people, you cannot get even 500 people who are literate, and even getting information, because now he's helped me. He gave me a computer. I had got a computer from the U.S. But because of this, I did sell it to get a visa. But he gave me the computer, and it has helped me very much. Because all the time I am connected, I bought the modem. But now, so many things, because every time, now, for example, if I was not connected, even I could not know even this interview. And this interview, I know it is so many people are listening, and they might come and help. And even they are making arrangements or preparing for the journey. All the time, sister sending me information.
Right.
Do this, do that. Now we have to do this and that. But now, if you are not connected, now if my vision to be fulfilled, I want to have a resource center highly stocked with computers, with internet. But even now, internet we don't have. We don't have internet.
Right.
We cannot manage to pay. Even the modem, I can stay with sometimes a week without to feeding it, because feeding it. Now, when I came from the Brazil, I have been using modem, but I have already used more than 300,000. And that would be something helping me for other things. That's why, and now even I'm looking also to start another project to to do with the natural forest, and I have also started it. But now I don't have money to decide to go in other places so that I can assist the people so that they can live their part of from their land, so that they can build firewood, they can get medicine plants and so forth, and also maybe we can even connect to this program known as the RED.
Yes.
And now I've been arguing those people who are heading RED, but they are saying they don't take it serious, and even the money is not there.
Right. So how can our listeners who are learning about your program right now become more involved or learn more about the work that you're doing? How can they find you? Do you have a contact information or a web page, or can they contact you through Heather, or how do we do that?
If people want to get in touch with Kaganga John, there's a couple ways.
Okay, good.
One is that he's just started a Facebook page, and he's really working to build that up.
Mm.
So you can search for him. We'll put the link on the site, too. But it's facebook.com/john.kaganga. And the second one is to email him. So that's johnkaganga@gmail.com.
Okay, great.
And lastly, the Million Percent Project, we are in touch with Kaganga John on a daily basis. So you can visit our website, millionpersonproject.org, or facebook.com/millionpersonproject, and you can get in touch with me, and I can put you directly in touch with Kaganga John. He would love for people to come and have work stays in his community, people to come out there and help him develop farming practices, help develop the systems for his school, and all kinds of other work that can be done in the community. So if you're interested in visiting Uganda and working with somebody on the grassroots level like Kaganga John, that is an option. And lastly, of course, financial donations and support is a very good way to support him, or by visiting him and bringing computers for his tech center, or going, if you're tech savvy, going there and helping him to set up his tech center. That's what we really, the Million Person Project really believes, that through global relationships, through global connections of people like us, that so much can be done, and that we don't have to put all of our eggs in the UN basket,
right.
Mm-hmm. Big government solutions, and that between the listeners on the show and the hosts and Kaganga and I, so much good can be done in around the world and in places like Kasajere and Chikandwa. So
how can people get, you've given some descriptions about how to get in touch with Kaganga John, but are there other ways that they can be involved with the Million Person Project?
Yeah, so the Million Person Project, like I said, we work with people from 34 different countries. So, and we do this storytelling workshop both in the United States and abroad. And the storytelling workshop is based off of this man's curriculum, Marshall Gantz, who's a Harvard professor, and it's about how to tell your story in relation to your work.
Mm-hmm.
And so if people want to get involved in helping out with the workshop, in going through the workshop, they can get in contact with me and see when our upcoming workshops are. Also, we need partners. We need people to partner with other change makers like Kaganga John to really help him take his work to the next level. Because right now I'm working with 10 people, and that's my capacity. That's
right.
As much as I can do. So we have many more people who, who need a partner, a pen pal, a advocate, whatever you want to identify it as, someone that's willing to listen to what the needs of their program is, and help them facilitate the connections to get those needs met.
Just tell us a little more about the Global Pen Pal Project. We have a leadership institute coming up in Chico in a few weeks for kids, and we're hoping to get them involved in this project.
Yeah, so the Global Pen Pal Project is a project where people around the world are building relationships with one another. So in some cases, it's things that are taking place offline, like they're working with one another on their project, helping. We have a woman in Philadelphia who's working with one of our women in Uganda, who one of our partners in Uganda, who is writing her communications for her email blasts and that kind of thing that she's doing. So that's one way that the Pen Pal project is happening. The other way is people are just connecting with, I bring letters with me from my friends and from people in my community back home, and I bring them with me and I give them to somebody while they're on the road, and then they write back and forth.
Nice.
And yeah, it's been a little bit of a hard go trying to, my vision was to have it be people writing and handwriting. So I have a mobile scanner so people will write the letter.
Right.
I scan it, send it back. But a lot of it is taking place just over email, which is fine.
Because right, right. Yeah. For some people, that's easy access. For others, not so much.
Yeah.
So you have a staff of 10, and you're working in 34 countries. So is it an each one teach one kind of thing to get that kind of reach?
So we don't have a staff of 10. We have we're working on a shoestring budget right now while we figure out our model. Like I said, we were founded in October, and we're still in the pilot project mode, but we work with 10 people like Kuganga John.
I see.
And and so with leaders and so but we've done the workshop with hundreds of people, with over 650 people. We work in partnership with the International Climate Change Organization, 350.org.
Right. Uh-huh.
And we work and we do the storytelling for change workshop within their network in order to build capacity for their organizers.
Nice.
So we have a really flexible model, and we're just sort of building out how we're going to, you know, how we're going to move this model forward sustainably.
We're about out of time at this point. We want to thank you both, Kuganga John and Heather Box, for being with us on Ecotopia. Your story is simply amazing, and your energy level and your commitment gives us real hope for the future. John, thank Kuganga John. Thank you so much for being with us today from Uganda.
I'm very, very, very pleased to have hosted me to your radio, Ecopia, KZFR, and please, within a minute, let me also try to thank Lisa Box of the Million Project, because what I have achieved so far within a very short time has really put me at a higher level, because I managed even to meet very big prominent people like Bill McBean of the 350.org, who is working on sustainable development and climate change. And now I have met also a prominent person who is also very prominent and known, and is an environmentalist and a writer, Daniel, of nourishing the planet. And I know with you, first of all, and those people who have joined and those people whom I met from the Rio Plus 20, I know we are going to cause a change in my community, in Uganda, and globally, we are going to achieve the development. And also, I urge you that people from the developed countries should not be sitting at the higher level to meet the ministers, meet those technical people, but they should be coming to the grassroots to know what is happening. Because so many things are covered by a blanket and they are not known. But when you come at people are, then there is a possibility of helping those communities. There are people who are ready to help, but they don't know whom to help.
Right. And we hear that a lot from guests on our program, that really it's the grassroots where the action is and where the change is going to come from. So, Kaganga John, we wish you all the best with your projects and with building this world that you've envisioned. And we also want to thank Heather Box. She is an environmentalist and one of the founders of the Million Person Project, which helps connect people worldwide through storytelling. Thank you so much, Heather.
Yeah, thank you guys. I really, really appreciate it.
It's really a pleasure.